grand scheme of everything else. Look at a piece of this Carrie Jobe song that we started out with, and Holy Spirit. And there's a lyric that says, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. I think that shame is undone will be applicable to the message that we'll talk about this morning. So I just happened to hear that lyric, and I wanted to pull that up when I did. But last week we began a series of sorts and questioning scientific facts, and we asked, how old is the earth? Scientists say, as we looked at last week, that the earth is about 4.6 billion years old. They base that off several dating methods. They date matter here on Earth. They date rocks. They date ice cores. Astronomers, they then take in astrophysics, they date how far the solar system has expanded. So they take a vast solar system somewhere else in the universe, and they look at how many light years away that is, and they say that from the starting point of creation and how where we are today, then however many light years is how old the Earth is, and they date it by all of those types of means. But I just submitted to you on last week that the fact that is taught to many people in school and is taught to me in high school and college, and I think to most everybody else, that the earth is that old, just should be a question that you ask of why. We should sometimes question scientific facts that they say, and I put facts in quotations. But because, like I showed last week, there was a 68 million year old dinosaur bone that they found elastic tissue in. It was, and they say that tissue cannot last under the best of possible circumstances more than a million years, which that's a stretch of the imagination there. But they took a 68 million year old dinosaur bone, broke it down. And this is a 60 Minutes video that I showed y'all last week, so it has great authority. Anyway, but I didn't get this from some kooky, as I said last week, kooky Christian, you know, website out there. They're just making stuff up. I mean, this is an actual scientist that had this bone that was 68 million years old by their dating system, and it had soft tissue in it. And you can see vascular cells and all the rest of it. And they ask every question except for the right one. How could it possibly have lasted 68 million years? My question is it really 68 million years old? Okay, that's the question. So there are great science things. I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. I am an immense lover of science. I love history. I love science. I mean, I love all of those things. It has its place. We have modern medicine and all the rest of that because of it. But yet, what we've seen in the world today is science and religion can't go together, and that's not true. Science shows you that there is a God. It shows you the intricacies of this creation. And that's why it's crazy for me to understand how somebody who knows molecular biology and things of this nature, and they look at it from the cellular standpoint, and they can't understand how that cell is so complex in the atoms and all the rest of it, and they don't see creation in that. But as I mentioned last week, just in passing, a couple of things, the dinosaur bones, there are crystals that, you know, crystals grow and they form. And they say, well, that crystal right there, a sapphire, for instance, they grew it in the lab, and I think it was about 2 weeks that they grew it in the lab. But when they dated it based on their mathematical assumptions, they said that that crystal was, and I can't recall the exact specifics of this, but it was thousands of years old because their dating method is flawed. No, that crystal was two weeks, 3 weeks, a month old or whatever, because they grew it in a petri dish inside of a lab. So our dating methods are flawed in some areas. I'm not saying that every one of them are, and that's exactly why the earth is not 4.6 billion years old. No, I did not, and I do not hold right now that the earth is that old. I just ask you to question why you believe what you believe when the scientists teach you that stuff, and does it compute with the Bible? That's what I'm trying to get you to think and get you to understand. So I did submit, though, that when we look at the genealogies in the Bible, and they have tested those, and they've looked, and they've studied them, and they've put it out there, that there are, we have the genealogy from Adam to Christ, all right? And it's split up in different parts. You have some in Genesis, you have Matthew and Luke's account, and all the rest of that. And they put ages. They said Methuselah lived 969 years old, or 89 years old, I can't remember. And Adam lived this many hundreds of years, and then he had a kid at 800, which is wow, okay? But we thought Abraham was old at 100 and something, but, you know, they put those dates. Do you agree with those dates? Do you think that those dates are real, or you think they're arbitrary numbers? And so people that have looked at the literal numbers of years, and they put them together, and they said that from Adam to Christ, that you had about 6,000 years old between 6,000 years, 2,000 years between Adam and Noah, and Noah and Abraham and Christ, and then where we are, today, which is a total of 6,000 years and counting, really, when you look at it. And I gave you that in your notes last week, what they said. Now, I'm not standing here and telling you that it's a provable, absolute fact beyond any recognizable doubt that the earth is exactly 6,000 years old. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the biblical evidence that we can look at and that we can chart shows 6,000 years. So I put in your notes today that the Bible would be off by 4,599,994,000 years. I'm just saying that we need to, that needs to be explained, all right? If the world says that the earth is 4.6 billion years old, yet out of the Bible and the actual ages and all that we have, say only, we can only come up with as best we can 6,000 years, why is there a difference? You would then have to go and say, well, those dates don't matter. Those ages don't matter. Those ages are arbitrary. There's symbolism or whatever the case is. You would have to change or interpret differently what the scripture says. And I just submit to you, once you begin to do that, you get into waters that are very dangerous. All right? So I just take the Bible at face value. It said Jonah was 3 days in the belly of a fish. I believe that. I don't, well, how did that happen? How did it happen? And all, and I, somebody in here came up with, gave me a pretty good theory on that one time, but he was in there in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. A donkey spoke. Balaam's donkey spoke in the Old Testament. A burning bush was talking to Moses, and he wrote the Ten Commandments, which are laws that have looked at and informed all of the laws in the world for years and years and years. Do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery. All of those things like that. I mean, there are many things in the Bible that are crazy. Why can't we believe that, but we'll believe that Jesus Christ rose himself from the dead? Isn't that a crazy belief? Sure, and the world looks at us like we're crazy because we believe that a man who was killed by Romans got up and walked out of the tomb. Folks, don't think that what I'm talking about last week and what I'll be talking about going forward are crazy beliefs because they defy science. Healing defies science. Resurrection from the dead defies science. There is many things that you believe that defy science, and I just think that we ought to question science a lot more than we do because it erodes the foundations of the scripture if you do not. So, this morning, we're going to discuss questioning scientific facts. Why do humans wear clothes? I'm just thankful they do. And I know you are too. But the basis for this question is that, and I don't always want to say science as if they're bad, so I'm going to use some terms this morning. The evolutionary claim, all right, the claim of an evolutionary thought process is that humans are just animals. I was taught that in school. Anybody remember being taught that in school, that we're just a mammal and an animal? Raise your hand. Come on. I mean, I know y'all, give me a break. I mean, y'all didn't go, everybody go to a Roman Catholic school or something like that. And here we all taught humans are just animals. We're just a higher form of mammal. I mean, they taught us that. And you're going, oh, isn't that wonderful? I'm just a higher primate. I mean, what? I want to tell you a quick story. It wasn't in my notes, but I got to tell this. I went to the Natural History Museum in Washington, D.C., and I've told this when I got back, and I ran in there, and you know me, I'm just an outgoing personality. And I said, oh, all this is wonderful, but I seen a sign. And it said, the Hall of Origins. And I said, I got to go see this. And I said, Joshua, we had taken him up there, and it was me and Brooke, and Joshua didn't have any kids yet, except Joshua. And you remember. And we ran in there, and I said, come on, y'all. Come on. I'm loud in this thing. Y'all, come on, let's go see where we come from. This is exciting. This is wonderful. And we went in there, and I seen this pillar, and there was these pillars that were up there. It was four, and they kind of made like a circle, but if you can picture that anyway. But it said, come look at your closest genetically living relative or something like that. I said, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. It's like Ancestry.com. I got a leaf. And I went in, and I looked in there, and it was a golden rat. And little kids all over the place are going, oh, look. And I said, and I stopped the lady right in front of this exhibit of skulls behind me. I said, ma'am, come here. Did you see this? Doesn't this just make you a tear drop down your face that you come from this kind of stock? All she did was look at me. And I'm telling these people, y'all, look at this. Look at where we come from. Nobody would sit there and get excited about coming from a rat. You crazy? And we put signs up there. Little kids, look at this. This is awesome. Good grief, where have we come? Evolved? I think we've devolved. Anyway, I'm sorry. That was that. True. I mean, most of that was true. I don't exactly remember every word that I said, but I did scream out to the people. I did ask the lady, look at the stock over there. And I mean, I'm just telling Brooke, and I'm like, shut up, please. Have me in here. And then we like to get thrown out, but it's ridiculous. All right, it's just ridiculous. But the evolutionary claim is that we have come from different animal forms. So I have put a photo in your notes. And this is what you would call the ascent of man, and it's not necessarily just a depiction of true evolutionary processes, but it does show humans coming from apes. And so you have the little monkey down here, just kind of ooh, and you know, and he comes up and he gets him a little, start walking a little bit, and then you know they start coming on up until you get to Homo sapiens and all the rest of it out there. And I'm just wondering, all these chimpanzees and gorillas and stuff that we go see and we tap on the glass at the zoo, they're going, huh, we got left behind. What in the world? There is absolutely no evidence of a species evolving, and it doesn't make scientific sense. The survival of the fittest, they died. And then this one was more fit, and it lived. And that, and you know how they explain it? This was a different, it wasn't apes, and it was not monkeys. Monkeys have tails, so there's a difference now. But monkeys have tails, an ape. They say, well, we come from an ancient primate, and we haven't found it yet. I'm going to tell you what. I've seen some very hairy human beings in my day, and I think, that, you know, what is that, an ancient primate? I mean, just a hairy human? I don't understand. But anyway, folks, this is what they say. They say you're an animal. Now, PETA, you know them, love them, they're great. Loathe them, I meant to say maybe. But PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, right? Organization, you know, activist organization there. They put that photo out. Humans are animals too. Because that's supposed to just make you very sympathetic, you know, to that snake that you found out there in your yard or whatever. And the chicken and fried chicken that y'all may consume when you leave here today or whatever the case may be. And I'm an animal lover. I have a dog. I would never want you to treat animals poorly. I think that those ASPCA commercials, you know, in the eyes of an angel, they're really sad. It's really sad. It's sad. I don't want to see anybody do animals that way, but folks, I am not an animal. Okay? We are better than animals. And if you want to reduce yourself to an animal, fine. So I'm not, just because, I mean, I don't like to kill much of nothing myself, really. But when you have something that, you know, is a lower form, it just is what it is. But I don't mean we have to treat that animal, you know, badly. But I am not a dog. I didn't come from a dog. I'm not a primate and all the rest of it. So when you look at all of this, it gets disturbing. Now, I have a video clip. Will somebody, Derek, will you hit them lights in the back over there for me? Video clip here where, and I promise this is going to work because we tested it. But Ken, and before you play it, Joe, Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy, you've probably heard of him, they were touring they had a debate and they toured the Ark Encounter up there in Kentucky. And this is what Bill Nye had to say in response to Ken Ham's question, are we not just animals?
A lot of young people here. How would you convince them that there were ice ages over hundreds of thousands of years?
Mr. Ham, that's my biggest concern.
I tell you my biggest concern, that you're teaching generations of these young people that are just animals, that they came about by natural processes. Aren't you teaching that humans are animals? Are we animals?
Yeah.
We're just
mammals.
Animals.
Breathe air. Okay. Isn't that good?
So all life is related, right?
Of course,
right?
There's a few of us.
From your
perspective, like lizards.
From your perspective, all life is related?
Certainly.
Even yes, plants? We're related to plants?
It's one of the fundamental discoveries in all of life.
Okay, so we're related to plants?
Yes.
So we're related to a banana?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted
What makes you think we're not related to bananas? What evidence do you have that the DNA in bananas, the DNA in E. coli, the DNA in ancient cave bears, what evidence do you have that we're not related to them?
Can you turn the lights back on there for me? So if you heard what he said in the beginning, he's just asking, are we related to animals? And yes, we're related to animals. And Ken Ham is Australian, so you had to get through the accent. But he said, are we related to bananas? And he goes, well, what evidence do you have that we're not related to a banana? So when you eat a banana, if you may, you need a little potassium, just know that you're eating one of your relatives down the line somewhere. I mean, you joke about it, but this is what people are teaching your children.
No more banana pudding, please.
Please. I'm going to be eating it. Listen, ladies, kill as many bananas as you want to. I don't care, okay? People for the ethical treatment of bananas, huh? I don't care. I'm a carnivorous, you know, whatever, murderer. There you go. So, folks, I mean, at some point, you do have to know that they laugh at us because we believe in God. Yet I can equally laugh at them with the absolute insane claims that they make. Bill Nye goes on in that two-hour walkthrough of the Ark and postulates that they're still spending about $1.6 million, and he thought that wasn't a lot of money, for this project to see if we actually come from Martians. He says that there may be life forms on Mars, and whew, it's just tiring. It's tiring when you get into all of this stuff. So I want you to think, though, in this vein of looking at all of this, the scientific fact that if it is true that we are just animals, then I beg the question, why do we wear clothes? Why are humans the only animals that wear clothing? Do you see any other evidence in the animal kingdom of them wearing clothing? I mean, a hermit crab wears a shell, but that is his house. Okay. Anybody know of an animal that you've seen? Oh, look at there. They had a sweater and somebody didn't take it and buy it for them. It's ridiculous anyway. Huh? You know, dogs don't like shoes, by the way. When you put them on there and they just, you know, walk like that, it's not natural. They don't wear them. So let's look. Let's look at why. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to break this up because I have to read the whole chapter. So we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 and then jump down after God delivers the curses. Then we'll look at verses 20 and 21. But it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Verses 20 and 21 say, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. So, looking at this verse of Scripture here, should be a very familiar passage of Scripture. It is the fall in Genesis chapter 3. And prior to this, in Genesis 2:25, and I have that up there, I think I jumped one here, but in Genesis 2:25, it tells us before this, before the fall, that the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. All right? And so they disobeyed God. He told them in Genesis 2:17 that they must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what she is recounting to the serpent at this time. You cannot eat from that tree or you will surely die. They before they had ate from that, they were naked. They felt no shame whatsoever there. And so when you look at shame, though, and I put the English definition for shame, it's a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. All right? So when they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, look at Genesis 3:7 here and see what it says. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. They went from a state of no shame to now a state of shame. All right? And it says again, the English definition for shame and being ashamed is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. When they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they understood what good and evil was, and now they had to cover themselves up. Quick answer, that's why we wear clothing. That is the reason that human beings wear clothes. You've seen that they went on and they sewed fig leaves together and they made those coverings for themselves. Well, that wasn't enough. That wasn't good enough. And so God had to take, and you look at verses 20 and 21, and in verse 21, he made an animal skin for them. That was the first sacrifice to cover mine and your sin. When he killed that animal, or multiple animals, we don't know, but we know all it says is he gave them clothes of skin. Skin comes on living beings, so you would assume that he killed an animal or two animals to then cover them with that. Now, when you look at this and you ask the question, if we're just animals and we just evolved like this, why are we the only ones that wear clothes? When you look at this from a standpoint of people that don't believe in Genesis chapter 3, what do they say? They say that clothing is there to protect us. It's there to make us warm when we're cold and warm us up, and take some off and so you're not as hot. So that you have people in tribal places that wear little clothing and you have people that are in very cold climates that wear a lot of clothing. But you know what? 99.9%, there are 0.1% that they just run around stark naked. They're out in Nevada, okay? Anyway, nudist colonies or something like that. But there are hardly no people groups, even indigenous tribes that you can go visit, that do not cover their loins. National Geographic may have showed you all kind of graphic stuff from a woman from the waist up, but they always are clothed in their loins. Huh. Now, they don't have to have that covered to protect them from anything. It's just a leaf, kind of a bathing suit. Bottle. A lot of times what you'll see these people running around with, this summer won't be much of nothing either. Oh, I don't know. Maybe we're going back to that kind of stuff. But you know, it's not why if you're out, if you're cold, and some people can say, oh, it's cold in church. Oh, it's hot. I mean, you always have people that are fussing about the temperature inside of the church when you're sitting in an air-conditioned building on a padded pew. We still have to fuss, but I digress. When you're cold, you put a blanket around you, don't you? When you stop being cold and you start to get a little bit warm, what do you do with that blanket? Huh. So if we were only wearing clothing to protect us from the elements, When we were no longer in a need from the protection over the elements, wouldn't we just disrobe? I mean, as a people group, we don't do that. It has nothing. When you walk around out of the bathtub, all right, you get out of the shower, and hopefully you don't shower with clothes on, but anyway, if you're in the shower and you're naked as a jaybird in the Sunday wind, it's no problem when you're in there by yourself. But if you've seen somebody looking in your bathroom window, oh, you'd cover up, wouldn't you? Why? You don't see a dog going, don't look at me. You don't see a gorilla sitting up there going like that. Neither do you when you go, why? What's the difference? I just read to you why, but I mean from a naturalistic perspective outside of the Bible, why? If we're just an animal, what part of the evolutionary process made us worry about us being naked? How could that have happened? You went from this ape and going up. What in there changed our brains to worry about whether we were naked or not? There is no evolutionary process that explains it. Not one. They say, well, because there's no way. Because all the hair fell off of us after we were primate, now we had to put some artificial on. I mean, what in the world? I don't understand. The reason you're sitting in here today, thank God Almighty, and wearing clothing is because it is an outward reminder that we have to be, our sin has to be covered. Our shame, our fallenness. Every time you put on clothes, every time you go spend $600 or $700 for a piece of clothes, no, it's just a covering to cover your sin. And thus is why, folks, when you see people in other places, other climates, you can never find a people group that in different religions, they don't know anything about Genesis chapter 3. They haven't read that yet. Yet they're covering themselves. It's built within us as human beings. Just as I've submitted to you before, you don't have to read the Old Testament law to know it's wrong to kill. Every people group on the planet have always had laws against murder. That didn't mean they didn't go scalp other people, but you don't scalp your own people without there being punishment. You don't lie. You don't tell an untruth. You don't steal things. This law was written on our hearts. You don't get that from evolution. How could you possibly have gotten that? So if I just ask you sometimes, this is a major, major thing being taught to your children in the school systems that they are simply animals. Why do you think they're acting like it now? I didn't say that as a joke. If you were told that there's nothing special about you, that you're just a piece of creation out here, and you don't see yourself as God intended to show you to be the only part of creation that he said he made in the image and likeness of himself, wouldn't you expect a devolution of our actions and our morals and all the rest of it? It is eroding our Bible, all right? The Word tells us that when you look at Genesis chapter 3, and I had skipped down in this part, and you can read the curses, you know, there for yourself, but it tells us in Genesis 2:7 that God created Adam out of the dust of the ground, all right? It tells us then in Genesis 2:22, after Adam had went around and he was a little bit lonely, that he fashioned Eve out of one of Adam's ribs. All right, so Adam and Eve were the only two human beings that were, you know, just absolutely fashioned by the hands of God. All right, one out of dust, one out of the other rib. And then it tells us in Genesis 3:20 there is why I wasn't going to put this in here, but I wanted this to be a big thing, because this verse right here goes with Vacation Bible School that starts tomorrow. It says incredible race. That's not talking about a race that you run. It's talking about an incredible race of people. And guess what? We're all part of one race. There's black people in here and white people in here and people from, you know, Latin American type of descent and all the rest of that kind of stuff. We're not different races. One race. Going back to Adam and Eve, God. We have different shades of color, but we're not different people. And if we could get back to teaching that, there's a picture, I challenge you to go look at it. Right when you walk out of these double doors, under that sign, there's a picture of a black boy and a white boy, and it talks about the different races that are out there. This is what Vacation Bible School is mainly about today, is to talk about the fact that Eve is the mother of all the living. We all go back to Adam and Eve, who then were from God. Actually, evolution. And I was reading it today, and it wasn't a part of my message, so I don't have the actual slides, but I can show it to you at a different point. Actually, if you read Charles Darwin, he talked about white people being a higher form and black people being closer to apes. He absolutely wrote it down. Yet, Laura Wilder, her book, The Little House on the Prairie, is not in libraries because there's something in there this close to racism or something like that. Yet you find his stuff in there. Evolution absolutely was all from racist people that wanted to classify us in different types of places. I can promise you can go back and read the stuff. If you don't believe me, I will bet you that I'll put it in a sermon with some slides as you can read it for yourself. It's absolutely atrocious. The Bible teaches us we're all one. Now, I'm not saying there hadn't been racist Christians, because there absolutely have been, but we are all one race, an incredible race of people, what our kids are going to be taught next week, all right? So, I wanted just to remind us that Adam and Eve, we go back to Adam and Eve here, and so, there are earthly parents of everyone that is alive today. Verse 21 showed us that animal sacrifice for the garment of sin. And when you go down and you look at all of this, folks, I'm going to summarize this real quick. Science, as I said in your notes, is exciting. It's wonderful. I love to see how we can be trying to come up with this cure of something, or come up with a medicine, and then you get Coca-Cola, you know. And I don't know how they come up with banana pudding, but bless them for having done it. But we're able to do experiments, and we're able to learn things and go through processes, and all of that stuff is amazing and wonderful. And I love astronomy, and I look at the stars. I see all of that. I love medicine, period. I see how doctors and whatnot, when they're studying the body. And we had several years ago, and I'm getting them to come back. Hope maybe we'll do it next year, get Dr. Ashley to come back and give us this talk he gave during Easter. He is the head of trauma at Navicent, and he came and gave a talk about the medical facts of the crucifixion of Jesus and how he knows that there is a God, because he sees the body, he cuts it open, he looks at all of it, and the uniformity of all of those things. And you know that, okay, these people are going to have two lungs and all the rest of it. That's how they can study that and know what to do when they cut you open and all the rest of it. I love science. But I do not like historical science when they try to go back and tell me that 4.6 billion years ago, this absolutely happened because we can see it in a telescope. That's ridiculous. All I want to submit to you this morning is I cannot prove to you that God created the world. I wasn't there. I can't show you a slide of it. I can't show you the video evidence of that. I can't do that. I'm not trying to tell you that I have any more physical evidence than science does. We all have the same evidence. They have rocks, we have rocks. They have ice cores, We have ice cores. We have a tree where we can see tree rings. They have a tree. They see the mountains. We see the mountains. There is no evidence that they have that we don't have access to. It's all about how we interpret that evidence. We see bones. We see fossils. We see different shapes of skulls. I look around this room, 110 people in here. There's many different skull shapes that are in here. You see people that have deformities sometimes. The Neanderthal only had that bone right there, that was sticking out more and all a little bit larger. Well, y'all seen Andre the Giant? That's a Neanderthal skull that man has on his head, and he's here today. If he died in a million years from now, they dug up his body, they go, look, a Neanderthal. Listen, I do want you to put everything, you'll say, Corey's teaching some stupid stuff like the earth is 6,000 years old. I believe it's close to that. Yes, I do. There's no reason for me not to believe that. God, when he created Adam and Eve, I told you, they looked 25 or 30, whatever the number is. First mountain, it didn't have to have tectonic plates to rub together to come up out of the ground. All the rest, he created the world in the appearance of age. There's no reason you got to have all of that, but I'm not willing to go 4.6 billion because the only reason for that is to go from molecules to man evolution. That they had to have that much time, but we didn't come from a molecule. We came from an infinite, all-powerful God, the omnis. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He is omniscient. He's all-knowing. And he's omnipotent. He is all-powerful. When he speaks, things happen. All right? And he made you like him. He made you in his image. He made you in his likeness. Don't go home and beat your dog to death. Okay? You're not a human. You're not a human. That's not what I'm saying. But you are absolutely not an animal. You are a human being that come from two ancient parents that God fashioned with his own hands to be like him. And I want you to get that. And for the love of God, teach it to your children. All right? Teach it to you. We can see it. I can see that God made us. Yes, we are like apes, and yes, we're like other things. We all have two eyes, and unless you're an arachnid or whatever. But you can see uniformity in God's creation because it's the same God that created everything. But we're different, all right? We're different. And I'm going to leave you with this point. If evolution is ever continuing, what's next? What's next? Humans, Homo sapiens, can't be the last in that ascent. There's got to be something else. I mean, we're gonna keep going. I ask, what's next? And then people tell me, Superman, X-Men, they go back to that. Seriously, they go back to that we're going to be moving things with our brain and whatever. All right. You answered that question, okay? Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you.